morning, everybody. Our big three headlines. Well, you had the state dinner with President Macron last night at the White House. Joe Biden's, I think, first or second state dinner. He hasn't hit too many of them. Be a little taxing if you had to remember.
That was his first. His first. I think it was COVID, you know. That was his first.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I don't want to dump on the guy because of COVID. So.
No.
But he clearly had no idea who he was greeting on the steps of the White House. And very confused. He shook the hand, for like 4 minutes or something, and Macron was trying to pull it away, and he wouldn't let it go, and it was weird.
Well, I think he was posing for photographers. I think that's what he was doing.
You
check
always
it out.
No.
We have it on our website and our Facebook page. Go.
Always got an excuse.
Yep. You always got amazing. Also in the big three, a judge threw out the idea of having a master to go over the documents at Mar-a-Lago. Trump is really losing on all the legal fronts these days. And rounding out the big three, interesting political news. Joe Biden wants to get rid of Iowa as the first state in the race for the presidency on the Democratic Party and replace it with South Carolina, which is the state that saved his presidency. So you kind of understand why he might put South Carolina there. I still am not convinced he's going to run again. I mean, after looking at that state dinner, I don't think he's got it in him. I just don't see it. But
he said that the other day. Somebody said, you know, they started chanting 4 more years, and he goes, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he did. You're absolutely
four
right.
4 more hours. Let's get back to that first. All right. The moment you've all been waiting for. Hit it.
This is Len and Michael's Tag Team Trivia.
And will the surge continue for Len Berman? We are at week 12 of season 5. Currently, 6 wins for Michael, but the amazing comeback from Len continues. He's got 5. He was getting crushed, and all of a sudden, they made the questions easier, and he started winning again.
They dumped him down for Sportscaster Boy.
That's right.
Well, it is interesting now, so let's get going, and if you don't remember how this works, we have 2 teams of 2. We ask each team 2 questions. Once I ask a question of the team, only that team can answer, and you can confer among yourselves. Good luck if you're with Len, and I just need a final answer at some point. If we have a tie after 4 questions, I have some tie-breaking questions. So let's meet our listeners that are going to be part of our teams today in the Len and Michael Tag Team Trivia Contest. Len, your teammate is from South Carolina, believe it or not, Robert Salvadori. Don't make fun of him. He's a retired NYPD officer. He lives in Indian Land, South Carolina.
Wow. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Len?
I'm doing good. You ready to take these clowns on? You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You want to ask him a question about living in South Carolina, Len?
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, like he asked
me.
Not at all.
No questions about living in South Carolina. Knock yourself out, Robert.
Nah, it's beautiful down here.
Yeah, yep, I agree with you there, Robert. Yep. Okay, let's introduce you to your teammate, Michael. Your teammate is Lisan Villa, who is a quote meter auditor for the New York Stock Exchange from Pensacola, Florida. Another out-of-state.
Oh, Pensacola. Nice place.
Lisan, say hi to Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Lisan, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be playing with you.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, too. Now, tell me, what do you do? What's a meter auditor for the New York Stock Exchange? And how can you do it from Pensacola?
Well, it's a remote job. So what you do is you just go in there, go to trading platforms, and you just make sure that they're in compliance with the New York Stock Exchange quote meter audit regulations.
Do you have any insider do you have any insider stock tips for me this morning?
None at all. I'm a back office worker.
Is this how they fudged the election results, too?
Oh, my gosh, guys.
Hey, Lisan, don't be so excited about talking with Michael. I do it every morning. It's no big whoop, all right?
Thanks.
All right, guys, let's go.
We can do this. We got to head Len off at the pass here.
Let's go, Robert. Let's go, pal.
All right, we're going to be playing for an item that money cannot buy, the WOR 100th Anniversary Collectible T-shirt. Team Len gets the first question here. What part of the body contains the metatarsal bones?
Go ahead, Robert. You're former NYPD. You
Oh my gosh. The dead
another
silence.
Blank stare from Len. Yep. Metatarsal.
Well, wait, sometimes it comes to him. Sometimes it might.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the hand.
Len?
I'll go with Robert. I'll go with the hand.
No. The foot.
Oh, close.
It's
close.
One extremity or the other.
The fingers would be the phalanges, I think. But anyway, the long bones that connect your ankle to your toes are the metatarsal bones.
Wow. I was going to say the nose, okay. So I would have gotten it wrong too. But
really? I thought it was easy. I just couldn't think of it. That's all.
I thought that was good.
I like people would know this. No, I thought Rito would have known this. That was a compliment. No,
I thought you would have known it. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Lisan and Michael, here we go.
Our opportunity.
Uh-oh.
Michael, without going through your wife Christina's purse, what building is pictured on the back of a nickel?
I'm sorry, what? Oh, the back of the nickel. It's the Capitol building, isn't it, Lisan?
I have no idea. Should I go get a nickel?
No,
yeah, get a nickel.
No.
I think it's either. I don't think it's Monticello. I think it's the Capitol. You want to go with the Capitol?
I say we go with the Capitol.
All right, we're going with the Capitol.
You should have gone with your other hunch that you almost said. Monticello. Yeah.
Jefferson.
Yeah. Of course,
okay.
Jefferson's home.
It's all right. We're still all tied up here.
Wow.
0-0.
We're alive, Robert.
Sorry.
We're
still here.
Okay. Here we go. Robert and Len.
Yep. Get ready for
Sunday.
The blank look.
Yeah, I know.
Here we go.
I think he's falling asleep, to tell you the truth. But anyway.
No, I'm not.
Sunday.
Come on. Sunday.
Okay. Sunday is National Cookie Day.
Okay.
So we have a cookie question.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the leading selling brand of cookies in the United States?
Brand or type of cookie?
Brand.
Brand of cookie. Nabisco? I don't know. What do you think, Robert? I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Nabisco. That's the only company I know.
I can't think
of
another one. I can think of Keebler with the elves, but I don't know. We'll go with
Nabisco. Yeah, but I think Nabisco.
We'll go with Nabisco.
Sorry. Oreo.
Yes, of course.
Well, that's
that
not a
obvious
wait. You
one.
Said
yes, it is.
Brand.
No. It is a brand.
It is a brand.
It is a brand. It is a brand.
Oh, it's not a brand.
Oh, I thought that was just a company.
That's a kind of cookie. Is the Oreo cookie?
Well,
I cry foul on that one.
No, that's not.
Oreo
no, they
not a brand.
Are. Look it up. Look it up. I googled
it's
it because I was.
It's got that little R with the circle around it up the top. The copyright.
That's their brand. But believe it or not, they're number one. Girl Scout cookies are second.
Oh,
anyway,
really? We nailed that one, Robert.
Okay.
Way to go.
All right.
Michael and Lisan, here you go. You can win it with this one.
All right. Let's do it.
This is an elementary school question. So, what color is on the outside arc of a rainbow?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, you got how many choices? Don't have many limited choices.
Well, the outside arc, is that the one that's on the top of the bend, right?
Outside, Michael, yes.
Could it be red?
It's between red and yellow. All right, let's maybe red.
Let's go with red, okay. We're going with red.
Yay!
Yeah!
Oh!
See,
that was easy.
Good guess. Did you know that,
Len? Is Roy G. Biv.
Roy G. Biv, I know
it,
yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Roy
G. Biv. Red,
Roy G. Biv. That's why I said it was elementary school. That's when you remembered it. That's how I helped you remember the colors of the rainbow.
What's Biv?
Roy G. Biv.
Well, it's all
violet.
Violet.
She's so
red,
excited.
Orange, yellow,
hey,
violet.
Lisan, how about that? Not only did you get to play with Michael, but you win, and you are going to get the very, very desirable 100th anniversary collectible T-shirt.
And you know,
sorry,
and
Robert.
You know, Lisan, I feel that we have a real rainbow. We have a real rainbow connection going on this morning, don't you think, Lisan?
All right, congratulations. Sorry about that, Robert. Congratulations to Lisan, today's winner in the Len and Michael Tag Team Trivia Contest. She wins again a limited edition of the WOR 100th Anniversary T-shirt. Join us again next Friday, 9:05, another edition of Len and Michael's Tag Team Trivia. If you'd like to become a contestant wherever you are, you don't even have to be in New York, Pensacola, South Carolina, Iceland, wherever you are, enter now, 710WOR.com.
Welcome Bjork from Reykjavik as our teammate for Tag Team Trivia.
All right, let me give you the site where you can go and register and be part of this contest. 710WOR.com/contestant. 710WOR.com/contestant.
Hey, can you give us what the tiebreaker question might have been? See if
no, because he may need it next time.
He can get a new one.
Okay. Sure. What was the tiebreaker?
Okay. No. I'm not going to give you that. All right. Here, this one here. This has been hanging around for a while. Mr. T's catchphrase, "I pity the fool," originally appeared.
I play
Mr.
the fool.
Mr. T. I pity the fool.
The A team. The A team.
Okay.
You should wait for the question.
All right.
The A team.
wrong. Anyway, that's not the question. It originally appears in a 1982 movie. Who was the fool that Mr. T pitied?
Well, that guy. That was
that
the
guy,
of the
yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Robert Vaughn.
No, that wasn't the A-team guy. I can picture him. I don't know his name.
Well, I think you're picturing the wrong guy because you would remember his name. Rocky Balboa. Sylvester Stallone. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The movie was
I had a really good day, I think.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Rocky played had a fight with Mr. T in one of those Rocky movies. I forgot all about that.
All right.
Pity the fool. That's right. Very good. All right. Thank you, Joe. Coming up next. Hey, guess what now qualifies as a contact sport?
Huh.
Could it be, I wonder, bowling? We'll find out when we come back.
So I had no idea you eat barnacles. I thought barnacles were just stuff that grows on boats. And Joe's telling us of eating barnacles in Spain. Wow, fascinating conversation going on here during a commercial.
Oh, who would have thought that you'd eat that?
What's a barnacle?
It's a thing that...
Those little things that stick on boats, yeah.
But I didn't know it was a living thing. You said it was a little fish. I thought it was just, you know...
No. It's a shellfish.
Trash or dirt or something.
No. It's a shellfish. Barnacles.
Well, you know, they harvest everything there. Do you know what else they had there? The face of a cow. Some people eat that.
The face of a cow.
The face.
Yeah. Well, you have to be in a good mood to do that. All right, let's move on.
The actual description of a barnacle, which I always assumed was some kind of shellfish of sorts.
You did?
Huh? Yeah. They say it's a sticky little crustacean related to crabs, lobsters, and shrimp.
Ah, see? That's why it's edible.
Have crabs and eat them, too. All right. Well,
we scrape them off the bottom of boats.
Well, speaking of food, with inflation causing some of the highest food prices we've ever seen, more people in New York than ever have gone hungry. This makes me crazy every year that people in New York have food anxiety. Once again this year... Why Hunger's Hungerthon is working to raise money to feed the millions who struggle with their hunger and their diet and all. We've got a number of rare auction packages available, and it includes a virtual meet and greet with us. So you can meet virtually with Michael and me, and we'll yak up a storm. And Michael and I even decided to throw in autographed copies of the books we've written. So please make a bid now. What you do is you go to charitybuzz.com/WOR. That's charitybuzz.com/WOR. And even if you don't want to meet with us, it's a great charity. So maybe donate some money. And if you just want to talk to Michael, that's fine. If you just want to talk to me, whatever. Want to talk to neither of us, fine. Just make a bid, all right? We got to help out this charity here. Hey, you talked about a contact sport, Joe. I don't know if you saw the story. A guy was arrested in Mississippi. Did you see this? The guy's got in an argument playing golf.
Oh,
now, they don't say what the argument was, but at the end of the day, they got this big fight, and one guy bit off the other guy's nose.
Oh, my God.
True story.
Face to face in an argument, I guess, huh?
Well, that was a real face-off, yeah. No, but seriously, what do you think they were arguing about? What, he marked the ball in front of the ball instead of behind the ball when he was playing? What could they be arguing about that would cause such a fight on a golf course?
Well, there are probably guys, and you probably know them, that the ball was out of bounds, and next thing you know, another ball falls out of his pocket. And
I knew a guy like that, absolutely.
Yeah, I know you did. Everybody knows a guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
Goldfinger. In the James Bond movie, Goldfinger. Goldfinger cheats that way. The ball drops out of it drops out
or
of
a guy. I've seen guys swing and miss and say that was just a practice swing.
Yeah,
you
okay.
Know, that guy, that's another thing.
Or maybe a gimme putt. He took a putt and shouldn't have taken it.
Yeah, that's good. He gave it to himself. No one else gave it to him. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
a foot away is a gimme. Don't you think?
Well, okay. We'll give you a foot. It's usually in the leather. That's what you do. It's in the leather of the putter. All right. Hey, let's some of your talkback comments. So you go to the iHeartRadio app, dial up 710-WOR, and yak at the microphone.
Glenn, if you're giving Kanye West airtime, you're not canceling him.
Ooh.
Good point.
Excellent point.
Good point.
Hadn't occurred to you,
he should be canceled over his Nazi stuff. But you're right. No, that's fair. If I'm going to talk about him, then he's not canceled. All right, I'm sure there's a big fan of the president, this next guy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Jack on Long Island. You know, Michael, Joe, I gotta agree with Len for once. Our president, Joe Biden, he's making moves. I mean, the guy's sharp. He's on top of his stuff. His latest audio clip. Here, let me play a piece of it.
Railroad and bag of vanilla ice cream, hairy legs.
Riveting stuff. He's on top of things.
Hey, let's get this guy back. He can Biden for us. We got a Biden impersonator.
Hairy legs.
That was pretty funny, Jack on Long Island. I have to give it to you. That was good. All right.
That was good.
Time for the latest news at 9:30. And you got to explain this to me, Joe. I mean, job report is great, so the market tanks. I mean, I think that should be good news if people get jobs. But Joe will explain all in his market report coming up. Let's get the news.
All right. Yeah. Well, you would think that it would be good news that employers added 263,000 jobs in November, beating expectations, a sign that hiring is still strong despite fears of a recession, which means we're not in recession, according to the sentiment of investors. And that means inflation has not been cured. The market is down. I'll give you the numbers in just a second. Give it a chance to go down even farther. Yonkers in mourning today. A car accident claimed the life of a police sergeant. He was driving on Tuckahoe Road, a BMW going the opposite way, lost control, slammed head-on into the sergeant's unmarked police vehicle. Yonkers Mayor Mike Spano says it's a tragedy for the
city. It's hard to see the pain that the officers were going through. Certainly really difficult to watch what the family is going through.
So far, no charges. As the investigation continues, they have not publicly identified the officers yet. President Biden is soon going to sign that measure to prevent a nationwide rail strike. Could have crippled the economy. The new deal will include an immediate $16,000 payout, 24% pay hike, and $5,000 performance bonuses. But a lot of union members are still unhappy. You'd think you'd be happy to get all of that, but they still only get one day of paid sick leave. A plan for 7 days of leave was voted down, but President Biden says, I'm going to keep getting it. I'll get it for you. Don't worry.
Hairy legs.
The president's plan to cancel student loan debt for students on hold, and it's going to be decided by the Supreme Court now. The plan is to forgive $20,000 worth of loans for up to $20,000 for a number of people. But it's been challenged in a number of Republican-led states. Supreme Court says it will hear arguments in February. Means the lower court ruling blocking the plan will remain in place, and that means you're going to have to pay the bills. The U.S. can make history tomorrow if it beats the Netherlands in knockout play at the World Cup. It will advance to the quarterfinals of the World Cup for just the third time in U.S. history. Big question is whether the star player Christian Pulisic is going to play. He was injured, scoring the only goal in the U.S. win over Iran.
Taking it day by day right now, but doing everything in my power to be able to be out there on the field on Saturday.
Okay. The Netherlands, by the way, is favored, but the U.S. did have a draw against England, which is considered a better team. So if you follow that logic, there's a better chance. Speaking of sports, could the Jets return to Queens? There's a new soccer stadium being built in Willets Point, and now a state senator wants to bring the Jets back to Queens. Senator Joe Addabbo's plan is to build a football stadium in the same area where the soccer stadium is being built, and return the Jets to Queens. He says it would be monumental. He says the land leases in that neighborhood are expiring, and the Jets do have an option to opt out of MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, where they're playing in 2025 and 2030.
That'd be great. I think it'd be great. Get the Jets back to New York.
It would be nice, yeah. Yeah, they're kind of outliers at MetLife Stadium anyway, I would think.
Correct.
But yeah, I mean, they did play at Chase Stadium for 20 years. All right, let's get to our Wall Street numbers. Again, the stronger-than-expected job numbers has the market lower. The Dow is down 377 points. The S&P down 55. NASDAQ is down 221 points. So they're all down over 1%, all of the markets this morning in early trading.
All right, thank you, Joey B. Coming up next, our Movie Minute guy, Joe Neumeier. Will Smith is out with a new movie. Will the Oscar slap bite him in the box office butt? That's the question for Neumeier coming up.
Where you want to go and then drop him off and never think about him again.
Jesse Kelly, weeknights 6 to 9 on 710 WOR.
We could fly to such great height.
All right, well, we welcome to the show, our buddy, Movie Minute Guy, WOR Movie Minute Guy, Joe Neuwirer. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning, guys. We have a crazy movie opening up today. It's going to be on Apple TV actually next week. And what's crazy is not what's on screen, but it's sort of the world around it. It was sort of dropped into the Oscar conversation pretty late in the game. It's called Emancipation. And it stars Will Smith as an escaped slave in 1863. Basically on a true story, there's a very famous photograph of a slave who's been his back has been whipped and sort of deformed, and that photograph really became sort of one of the iconic images of the Civil War. So this film, which is directed by a pretty good director named Antoine Fuqua, kind of builds up a bit of a fictionalized story around that slave as he escapes from a plantation in Mississippi to try and find the Union Army in Baton Rouge. It's pretty good, I gotta say. Like, it's in addition to the amazing performance by Will Smith, it's also got sort of an element in there, almost a little bit of like, I don't know, the Defiant Ones, or even, this is gonna sound a little crazy, but something like First Blood, because he's being chased by some slave hunters and he kind of has to survive in the wild and kind of use his intelligence to get to Baton Rouge. But here's the crazy thing. I'm giving the film 4 stars, by the way. It's really powerful. But Will Smith could be nominated and possibly could win. I don't know. It's a crazy kind of a year. I don't think so. I think that, Brendan Fraser for The Whale is sort of a lock this year for that. But after last year's slapping of Chris Rock on stage, for Will Smith to sort of even possibly be nominated and be in the conversation is really sort of this one of those great Oscar possible weird things that I really love, and I think it's sort of a fun thing. So he has torn up his Academy membership card, so he can't vote. The Academy has barred him for 10 years from any Academy events, so he can't show up. But he certainly could be nominated, and he certainly could win, which I think is really a crazy thing. And so, it's a performance that I think had none of that happened, and you could be possibly looking at somebody to really win 2 Best Actor Awards in a year, which back to back, which is rare in itself, but just such a crazy thing going on. But it's Emancipation, 4 stars. It's a very intense drama, but it's also really exciting in a lot of ways. The director also did the Equalizer films and the Magnificent Seven remake, and Training Day, which got Denzel Washington a Best Actor Oscar. So it's one to see, I think. Yeah. Yeah,
was this movie clearly made before the slap? I mean, isn't his career kind of in trouble now, post slap?
Yeah, well, it was made pre-slap, and then I'm talking about pre-slap and post-slap.
Right.
But it was made pre-slap, and Apple, which won Best Picture last year for Coda, were really wanted it to be in the conversation, and they were debating whether they should hold it a year, let things go. I kind of think, in a way, they've made the right call to kind of let it be in the Oscar conversation now. Release it as they had originally planned in this month, in December. Will Smith, his career is up in the air. I mean, whether he's in movie jail, as they say, for this kind of thing, and people don't want to hire him. He was at the premiere the other day for Emancipation. He's done these sort of mea culpas online where he's explained himself and apologized. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of the cycle of fame goes so fast these days that maybe he'll be, going through the forgiveness cycle by the time the Oscars are given on March 12th. It's a crazy kind of a thing. But I kind of love stuff like that. I love, like, any Oscar craziness, even the La La Land Moonlight. Thing a couple years ago, or even things like the fact that, like, this is very in the weeds, but when Barry Fitzgerald Michael probably knows this, in 1944 was nominated for both Oscar time, but we'll be talking about it, I'm sure, come January and February. Yeah.
Hey, Joe, I was listening to an interview with the new film critic at the Boston Globe yesterday.
Yeah.
And he said that yesterday, this magazine Sight and Sound, they released their poll of the greatest movies of all time, and they asked film critics all over the world to vote on it. Did you participate in that thing?
I did not. I got the email. I did not reply in time. I've got, my email is always filled with things. I probably should have done it, because maybe had it been had my vote been in there, maybe I would have been the one vote to put something like North by Northwest or Citizen Kane or The Godfather in the number one spot. There's a film. It's a French film called Jean Delmont that got the first.
I've never heard of it. I've never heard of that thing. Is it any good?
Seen it. I have not seen it. It's a well-respected film from 1975 by a great director named Chantal Ackerman, and it pushed movies like Vertigo and Citizen Kane down to number 2 and 3. Vertigo is now number 2, and Citizen Kane is number 3. And Godfather, I think, is number 12, I think, or The Searchers is number 12. Godfather is farther down the list. You know, it's one of those things where it's like it comes around every 10 years. So the last one was 2012. And I think it reflects obviously current tastes of things. I don't even know if that's the kind of, if that's the obscure film from the 70s I would have put in there. You know, I don't know if, you know, if you really want to, you know, put your bet on that horse, but I don't know. I think those kinds of things, I think polls and lists and things like that are interesting, but I also think that they really reflect kind of current taste and what people are trying to reflect. I don't even know. Like, I mean, that's a crazy thing. For however many critics voted in, did it really right. kind of tilt the scales that much? But yeah, huh. I still say,
well, you know what?
Citizen Kane, you know, for the
you're going to have to vote yeah. in 2032 and get back to us and let us know.
That's right.
You get back to me. I think you'll be getting back to me, Joe. I'm glad
so
to see though. Right. I'm glad to see Stanley Donen and Gene Kelly singing in the rain, number 10. That's a great
movie. Yes, yeah. That's still in there at number 10. And there's a lot of films that have sort of slid off the list or kind of come back in at number, you know, in kind of gained popularity in some ways. But I really think that movies. I also think there's a tendency, I think, to go against. The popular grain. I mean, the Jordan Peele film Get Out is on the list now. I don't know if that. I mean, it's a fine film. It's a great little thriller, but I don't know if I would put that in the list of 100 greatest films and drop other things off the list. I also think that there's sometimes a bias against American films on things like that because it's a British poll, obviously. So yeah, they're asking all these critics, and I think sometimes there's something to be said about that. Yeah.
You know what I think we should all do, and I include you in this, Len. Why don't we, between now and the next time we talk to you next week, why don't we all watch Chantal Ackerman's Jean de Mans, 23, no, and then we can all weigh in
happen.
On that.
I'm going to be watching the World Cup.
But for Len, that's just another Saturday night, is really is yeah, right. sitting and watching a French
film. Oh, it's foreign film thanks, night guys. At Len's house.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, just Len quickly, before you run, I know there's a movie out called Spoiler Alert. It's got a great title, and some of the stars you've heard of in Jim Parsons and Sally Field, they've been making the talk show rounds. Do you know anything about this movie?
I know it was directed by the director of The Big Sick, whose name is Michael Showalter, who's also making a film right now with Anne Hathaway. And it's about a journalist whose husband contracts an illness and dies. I don't know. I like Jim Parsons. Ooh. I think he's great. So that's one to catch. There's also one on the totally opposite end. There's also a film called Violent Night that's out it's getting kind of really not very good reviews. I haven't had a chance to see it, but it is about when Santa, real life Santa, played by David Harbour from Stranger Things, is delivering toys to a house in Connecticut and finds that the rich family there is being held hostage by thieves. It looks a little like Bad Santa meets Die Hard meets Home Alone. I don't know if that was really ever anything that people wanted, but what an elevator pitch, right? It's Santa,
there
but it's like Die Hard. You're right.
All right, Joe. Yeah.
Thanks,
check
Joe.
Back with us in 2032. We'll see what you got.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, have a good weekend. Joe Neumeier, WOR's Movie Minute Guy. Hey, coming up next, you'll never guess what famous house, Len, is haunted. I'm going to give you a little hint. The ghost is a woman.
Amityville Horror?
No. The ghost is a woman, and she isn't wearing any clothes. Can you figure that one out?
Well, the whole gang and Michael and I, we're wrapping things up for the week. Be sure to check out Mark Simone after the news at 10 o'clock. He welcomes writer-producer Alan Zweibel and comic Steve Solomon. And if you missed any of our show, we'll have the podcasts up at our website, 710WR.com/LennonMichael. They'll be up within the hour. We also have some neat things up on our Facebook page. You want to follow us there, 710WOR. We have President Biden's never-ending handshake with Macron. I thought they were going to lock lips at one point. I really did, but they just shook hands. And also, this is cute. This is if you were with us, Alice Stockton Rossiti was doing a report by the Christmas tree the day after the lighting, and she was acting as a New York City tour guide. So you can watch her show tourists from Ireland where the Rockefeller Center tree is. So check out our social media sites. And before we get to a little bit of a recap, Michael, you were talking about an X-rated ghost at a house. What was this all about?
Well, a former Playboy bunny, her name is Bridget Marquardt, she claims that the Playboy mansion in Los Angeles, Hugh Hefner's house, is haunted. Now,
really?
You'd think, is it haunted by a couple of frisky ghosts, a couple of old playmates from the 60s? Yeah. Could be kind of fun. The sad one would be Dorothy Stratton. Remember Dorothy Stratton? She was the Playmate of the Year, was killed by her boyfriend, yeah. Well, it turns out the ghost is not that sexy. It's Hefner's old secretary. who you probably would not want to see as a centerfold, but she kind of ran the house for Hefner, and she did die, sadly, of cancer. But this woman claims that she saw her in her bedroom. She materialized and smiled at her and waved and then disappeared. And she described this person to Hefner. She said, "Oh, that's my old secretary."
Oh. So, see, I thought when you did the story, you were going to drag out your old joke about the X-rated ghost. But
what was that? I don't remember.
Really? With the...
Oh, we had some ghost that was...
What was the X-rated? I don't remember. What
did your joke? You said that the ghost gave a boo job?
Oh, right. That was a good one.
That's your joke. I'm just quoting Michael Riedel here.
Don't get mad at me. That's pretty good. Right.
Yeah, that's your joke. Okay, anyway.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Well, a little bit of a recap. If you thought that was good, wait to hear some of this.
Gotta be better.
I don't know. We had restaurant expert and author Michael Cecchiazzolina, and I asked him about how you get into a crowded restaurant. He's spent a long career as a maitre d'. What's the going rate that you got to schmear you guys to get into the restaurant if you don't have a reservation?
Back in the day, when a 20 was worth 100, 20s were great, and 100 was like getting $1,000. Now, $100 is the standard. And if you really want to get into a restaurant and it's not going to happen, the best thing to do is go to the gatekeeper, you know, learn the guy's name or the gal's name, the woman's name, sorry, and, you know, be nice. And it doesn't hurt to tip.
$100, Mikey. That's where you got to go. ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky was telling us that a court's removal of a special master from the case involving documents from Mar-a-Lago, well... Katursky says this is pretty significant.
The Justice Department is now going to have unfettered access to everything that was seized from Trump's home. And they can now, I think, under the direction of a newly appointed special counsel, figure out whether any criminal charges are warranted here in the way that Trump handled these classified materials and decided to move them out of Washington down to Florida when he left the White House.
Trump on a bit of a losing streak. We asked former Westchester County exec Rob Astorino about Governor Hochul's agenda.
What's the agenda? She didn't run on anything. She literally ran on nothing. So nobody knows what she's going to do. And I think she's just going to put her finger in the wind and just enjoy being governor. I think that's really all she does.
Some sour grapes from a guy who ran for governor? I don't know. Hey, Michael asked me about my greatest athletic achievement in school.
Did you play any sports when you were in high school?
I was on the junior high school softball team in Queens. True story. I had a home run in one game. They announced it on the loudspeaker. Mm-hmm. And the next practice, one of the guys on the team said, "Oh, here comes Babe Ruth." That was my one moment of glory. But we won the Queensboro Championship.
So it was all the boys who didn't make the baseball team?
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Yes, yeah.
I don't think we had a
baseball team. In other words, it was the girls' team.
Thanks, guys. Support for my staff here. Hey, Michael was joking about President Biden's first state dinner last night with the French president.
When Macron and his older wife, when they got out of the thing, I saw Biden's face like a big surprise. Like, "Oh, I didn't know you were coming. Oh, great to see you."
What are you doing here?
That's not true.
You came all the way from France to see me?
I'm glad the president's allowing you to have a good time. All right. Coming up on Monday's show, well, you know, he'll say something outrageous. Colorful defense attorney Jeffrey Lichtman. He joins us at 7:05. Warner Wolf, legendary sportscaster. Lots to discuss. You got the big soccer game tomorrow, football Sunday. I think you have some Hall of Fame nominees coming up Sunday in baseball. Steve Roberts, ABC political analyst, at 8:05. The Rockettes are going to drop by the studio at 8:20. Michael, that's radio gold. You get to see how pretty they are. You get to watch them dance. It's going to play great on the radio. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Have a fabulous weekend. See you Monday. It's 10 o'clock.